So I'm going to turn on recording. I'm going to put you all on mute. I'm going to turn it all on mute. One second. All right. Okay, you're all on mute. You could unmute yourself if you choose to. Okay, here we go. So we are going to begin by discussing a little bit further from the book Shmiras HaLashon. One piece, we're up to the eighth chapter over here. And in the eighth chapter, he says that he quotes a very interesting Agadic statement from... Medrash Agadas Bereishis, and it says La'asil levo hakol misrapin. In the future, everything is going to be healed. V'nachash. Uh oh. Am I still on? Okay, great. Sorry, just got a weird pop up screen. Told me I signed out. Okay. I'm going to continue. Again, the matter says, La'asil levo hakol misrapin. In the future, everything will be healed. V'nachash ein misrape. And the snake will not heal. Uchashem shenachash ein l'refua, and just like the snake will not be healed, kacha omer lashon hara al chaverau ein l'refua la'asil levo. So too, someone who speaks negatively about their friend will not have a healing in the future. That's the Agadic statement, and let's try to understand what exactly it's saying over here. So basically it's saying, in the world, in the future, the Messianic era, we have this notion that everything has a tikkun, everything has a rectification, and everything will be, in the words of this Agada, everything will be healed, everything will have a refua. However, there's one exception. What's that exception? The nachash, the snake, which embodies evil, and so too, just like the snake, so too someone who uses their mouth for negative purposes, that will not be rectified. That will not be fixed. Now, the Chafetz Chaim doesn't explain why that is the case, but I want to share with you an idea I think I've shared with some of you before from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, one of the great thinkers of the 20th century. He has a beautiful piece in the beginning of his book, Pachad Yitzchak on Purim. And he explains over there the idea that in the world, Asil Lavu, in the future, every single thing will have, as we said a moment ago, a tikkun. Everything will have a form of a rectification. And what that means is the fact that everything that exists in the world, there is some good and there is some bad. And sometimes it's misguided, sometimes it's put in the wrong direction. But ultimately it could be rectified. Ultimately, whatever mistakes we make, we could channel those the things we're doing wrong into something positive. But when it comes to things like cynicism, when it comes to things which are just there to destroy, there is nothing, there's no substance to it. It's just a destructive force. And what does it even mean to rectify a destructive force? There is no substance to it. The whole koach, the whole force of lashon hara, of gossiping, is something which is just pure destruction. There's no substance to it. It's not building and building in the wrong direction. Even idolatry is a sense of humility, a sense of submission, but it's misguided. It's directed in the wrong place with the wrong ideas. Well, we could rescue that. We could change that. We could rectify that. But if the whole essence of what you're doing wrong is destruction, like cynicism, like talking about people in negative fashion, that's something which has no substance. There's nothing to hold on to, and therefore there's nothing to rectify. A destructive force can't be saved. And therefore, perhaps for this reason, that's what the Medrash over here is saying, that the Lashon Hara, yes, even our sins, there's always, it's important to acknowledge that there's nothing which is 100% evil in the world. There's always, even the things we're doing wrong, there's a few percentage of some good, and that could be fixed, that could be rectified. But when it comes to something which is pure negativity, that cannot be rectified. And that's why it's so important to stay away as best as we can from any form of negativity. Speaking cynically, speaking negatively, and certainly speaking negatively about other people, those are things we want to avoid at all costs. Okay, now we are going to continue learning some of the laws of Pesach. It's important. One thing I'm going to do to save you all a text message or email. I have received emails, text messages, I don't even know what, from a trillion people with the same article that you all read yesterday. You know what I'm talking about. Can you put on your computer and your friend, family putting on their computer, and can you have a Seder together? Okay. The short answer is I'm really sorry, and I'm going to take a step back. I came into this a little bit comically. It is incredibly tragic and truly tragic and impossible situation for many people right now to be having a Seder by themselves. There are some people who are a couple having the Seder by themselves without their beloved grandchildren, okay? And there are people who are truly all alone, and that is a truly terrible, terrible situation, and it's beyond tragic. I mean, if there's one time that we think of family coming together, it's Pesach. And to imagine that there are likely going to be countless people, thousands, I don't know, many people across the world who will be sitting by themselves for their Seder is heartbreaking, is truly, truly heartbreaking. And I applaud all possible efforts to try to figure out how to make those Sedarim less lonely. And we certainly, it behooves all of us to do whatever we can to figure things out. There's an email that went out today. Next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, there will be a class on for those who are alone, trying to come up with ways of making the Seder a little less lonely, a little more connected, and perhaps a little bit more enjoyable, even if you are on your own or if you have a very small Seder. So we'll be talking about that next Thursday. And as a community across the world, we're all thinking about possible ideas, solutions to make things less lonely, and at the same time to be consistent with both medical advice and Jewish law. Okay, so first and foremost, if obviously it goes without saying, if there is anyone who on their own will potentially put themselves being on their own and being completely by themselves, is in any way risking their lives, everything is out the window. Of course, everything is waived for pikuach nefesh. We're not talking about situations of that nature. That is not part of this discussion. But for people who it is terribly lonely, but it is not not a question of pikuach nefesh, not a question of one's life being at stake. Unfortunately, the thinking on this responsa that was issued is highly, highly questionable, debatable. It is not allowed, unfortunately. I mean, it's not the time and place to go into all the details. I'm happy to discuss it offline, but it's something which unfortunately cannot be done. It's worth noting that a number of people who signed on to that retracted their names from that letter already. It's really, again, it's a terrible situation, but that is probably not going to be the solution again. And we're not talking about people whose lives are at risk in any way due to their loneliness. Okay, so I wanted to move that out of the way. I know many people were wondering about that, and again, I'm happy to go into more detail. Now is not the time and place as to why most people do not agree with the thinking of that responsa. Okay, so with that in mind, we're going to now move on to some areas of kosher Pesach cleaning. We spoke about the whole house. We spoke about the cupboards. We spoke about the fridge, the freezer. We're finished with most of our house. Today, we're going to talk about ovens. Okay, so one important principle we have to know when it comes to koshering, and that is that we typically, whenever you are koshering anything, you cannot use that thing for 24 hours prior to koshering. Okay, so for 24 hours, it cannot be used, but it cannot be used for things that are hot. Okay, so keep that in mind, okay? Meaning, if you want to leave your countertop, we'll talk about later, not today, that you want to kosher, and then you put a cold glass of water down on that countertop, that's fine. But we're not using anything that we are koshering. We want to ensure that nothing hot touches those surfaces for 24 hours prior to cleaning. Okay, so here's a little Pesach cleaning tip. The best time to clean for Pesach, the best time to kosher for Pesach is, what day of the week? I can't hear you. Just kidding. It's Matzei Shabbos, Saturday night. Why? Because we didn't use our oven, probably, for 24 hours, right? Our oven was likely off for 24 hours, and therefore, you don't get in the way of any of your cooking. Again, that means that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday this year, your oven will be kosher for Pesach. That's just a suggestion. You don't have to do so. But basically, you want to find a time when you are not going to use your oven for 24 hours, okay? So number one, you want to make sure, again, we're talking about ovens and stovetops today. That's it. And so when it comes to the stoves and ovens, you want to make sure they're not used for 24 hours. That's number one. Now, either before, during, whatever, you need to clean your oven. Now, there's one exception to this thorough clean, and that is if you have a self-clean oven. Who here has a self-clean oven? Okay, awesome. Okay, so I was told you want to open your window a little bit because of the fumes, especially since everyone is at home right now as we kosher, and you want to be around because they sometimes have some glitches, and yeah. Basically, bottom line is if you have a self-clean oven, your life is pretty simple. All you have to do is clean your oven lightly, decently. You want to make sure there's no big chunks of something dirty. A very basic clean of your oven. You put it on self-clean, and the oven is kosher for Pesach. If you have a self-clean oven, you don't even have to wait 24 hours. Okay, without getting into the rationale why right now, it's called Libun Gamor. It's the highest form of koshering. Okay? It's the highest form of koshering because it's so hot. You don't even have to wait 24 hours. That is only true for a self-cleaning oven. So again, self-clean oven, two steps. One, basic clean. Two, that's it, just one. Basic clean, you turn it on for self-clean and your oven is kosher for Pesach. You did not have to wait 24 hours. Done, okay? That's for the oven itself. If you don't have a self-clean oven, you have an oven that does not have self-clean, you have to clean it quite thoroughly, okay? This is where, you know, some of the Pesach cleaning gets a little more tedious. You have to clean it quite thoroughly. Now, if you have spots which are not coming off that easily, what you do is you take a caustic cleaner, something like Easy Off, you spray it, you follow their instructions, they have this whole complicated way, you spray it, leave it, whatever it is, you try to clean it once, do it again. If the thing's still not coming off, it's nothing. Just ignore it. And then once you finish cleaning, you crank the oven up to its highest temperature for an hour, 1 hour, okay? And then your oven is kosher for Pesach. Good? Any questions? Fantastic. Okay, that's it. Seems like most of you do have self-clean ovens. Cooking grates. Yeah, we're going to talk about cooking grates right now. Great question. Okay, so let's talk about the stove top. Okay, so if you have electric grates, they're not called grates, electric things, you know what I'm talking, coils. Anyone here have electric coils? Yes, no? Okay, fantastic. Okay, so basically, what you want to do is you want to clean them well. Once you finish cleaning, same thing, clean them very thoroughly. They're usually not so caked because they're almost self-cleaning in some... That's the wrong word to use. Bottom line is that you clean it well, and once you finish cleaning it, you put it on high for like 15 minutes, okay? And it's clean, okay? It should get red hot. 15 minutes is perfect amount of time, and it is totally clean. You want to make sure to clean the whole area under and around. You want to cover the areas in between with some substance, like you cover with, like, this is where you want to use your tinfoil if you want to get your tinfoil out. This is the only place in the kitchen I allow you to use tinfoil, for the record, okay? On your stovetop. You could put tinfoil down over there because things, you know, place down in between, and that's basically it. A light cleaning. Yes. Yeah, so let me go back for a second now. So I just want to finish the electric, and then I'm going to go back to the self-cleaning. Again, so for your electric stovetop, you just clean the whole place thoroughly, you put the burners on highest for 15 minutes, and then you put tinfoil in between, and you're done, okay? Going back to the self-cleaning oven for just a moment, a light clean is a light clean. You should really just be looking for, you know, take a sponge. You're looking for literally chunks of food that are there. You clean them out. Any crumbs, any substance over there, don't worry about whatsoever. Basically, once it goes through a self-clean, then any little gunk that was there is nothing. Okay? Does that answer the question? Thumbs up? Shmolema? Yeah? Okay, fine. Yes. All other things, again, the only exception to waiting 24 hours is the self-cleaning oven. Everything else you're koshering, you must wait 24 hours. So the stovetop, you also have to wait 24 hours before koshering. Okay? So I want to clarify that. Let's talk about gas. Self-clean oven. That's a good question. There are areas that don't get so clean. The question though is how much of an impact does the area between the doors, does that really impact, the food that's being cooked over there? So this is a question that some bring up. I wouldn't drive yourself crazy. Clean it. Spray it down if you want, if you see substance there that you can't get rid of. Again, we're talking about, you know, on the door, it doesn't really get impacted by the self-cleaning the same way. So if, you know, just try to clean that area nicely. If it doesn't clean so well, just spray it with a caustic cleaner and you're good. We're going to get to electric stovetop, glass surface in just a moment. Okay, let's talk about electric grates. We're going to talk about gas grates. We're going to talk about gas grates, and we'll get to the glass smooth top in just a moment. So the gas grates, the simplest thing to do is to kosher them. When you kosher your oven, to put them in the oven to kosher them. Now, some people don't like doing that because they get a little bit eroded and it's not so good for the coloring. It wouldn't start a fire or anything, but it could get a little rusty. I've done it before. It's usually okay. What you could do alternatively, for those of you who have a self-cleaning oven, is just go ahead and after you do a self-cleaning cycle, or actually, after you do a self-cleaning cycle, clean your grates well, and then put them in the oven on full volume, on the highest temperature for 1 hour. Okay, don't put it through the self-cleaning cycle. Just take those grates, clean them well, make sure there's no substance on them. Again, they can't be used for 24 hours. And then you put the grates onto the shelves for just 1 hour and on the highest setting. I know. Thank you. It was brought up that in the manuals they usually tell you to remove the shelves. The shelves in the ovens before you do a self-cleaning cycle. I don't want to guarantee your oven, but everyone I know just keeps them in there. I don't know. Sorry. It should be okay. I feel pretty comfortable saying it should be okay. You could alternative. It should be okay. I'm pretty comfortable saying, we're talking about the regular trays in your self-cleaning oven. Most people do leave them in. Again, it could get a little rusty, but no one cares about a little bit of rust on those types of trays. Okay, so we talked about the electric, the gas grates. We put them in the oven either through the self-cleaning cycle if you don't feel comfortable doing that. After you kosher, put them in the oven for 1 hour after you clean them. And again, your grates have to wait 24 hours. Then you want to cover area in between. Okay, you want to cover the area underneath and in between. But very, very, very important. There are areas that the gas goes out. Do not cover those areas. Make sure there is a large hole to make sure that everything is flowing properly. So if you see any holes and you don't know what they're for, make sure there is no tinfoil covering those holes. That would be an absolute disaster. Okay, so basically you're covering the areas in between. Some people take the grates and put them into the oven to kosher them. You could do that. You could just cover them, not the grates, excuse me, my wife went upstairs. The things under the grates. Someone unmute yourself. Help me out over here. You know what I'm talking about. Let's see. There's a word for them. The pans. Pans? Pans. Drip pans. Thank you. Thank you all. You're so helpful. Thank you. The drip pans. So those drip pans, you could take them. You could kosher them. They're metal, so you could kosher them like you kosher the grates, or you could just cover them with foil, and that's okay. Okay? So we've covered our electric coil ovens. We've covered our gas stovetops. Yes? Any questions on those? Do you need to cover the lip where the temperature buttons are and clock? No. There are different opinions. Some people like covering them. Clean them thoroughly. Again, they never got hot enough that you're not putting food on them, right? You don't put food on knobs. You don't put food on the buttons. So you don't have to kosher that. You don't have to cover them. You don't have to put foil on the knobs. The only place at all I'm saying put foil is, you know, if you have a gas stovetop and you want to put foil in between things and covering the top. But in terms of, thank you, buy drip different set of drip pans. It's a great idea for another year. Amazon's not going to get that delivered to you until 2021 right now. But yeah, in terms of your knobs or in terms of your any of the surface areas that food is not going on, you don't have to kosher. I know many people do. Just clean it well. That's all. It's full of grease maybe, but it's not, there's no food there. So there's no need to kosher anything other than where the food, or cover anything other than where the food is. Carbon monoxide or the foil. Again, make sure that the holes where the gas is supposed to be flowing through, there are large holes there. So please, 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 please make sure you have holes in the areas where the gas is coming through from. Don't give me a tiny little hole. Make a large hole, and that way you're safe that all the gas is flowing. There's no carbon monoxide issues. Okay, if you're not sure about where the hole is, don't cover anything. Call someone who might be able to guide you. Please make sure if you have a gas stovetop and there are no and there aren't holes, where the gas is coming out from, that is a serious issue. So please be conscientious of that. Let's talk about glass stovetops. Anyone have a glass stovetop? Okay, fantastic. Glass stovetops. This is a matter of much controversy, and it goes to the following. It comes to the following issue, and that is Sfardim are actually of the opinion that glass cannot become treif, cannot become meat, cannot become milk, and therefore you don't never have to kosher it. Okay, glass, according to Svardim, is basically, it can't be impacted whatsoever. And that's the Svardic opinion. Ashkenazim, around Pesach time, we are the worst. Kitnios, and now listen to this, okay? So basically, we basically take it on both levels. We say, no, it could become chametz dik, it could become fleishig, it could become milchig, but you can't kosher it. Right? So it's like the worst of both worlds, right? So basically, Svardim say you can't ruin, glass cannot be impacted from a kosher's perspective, and Ashkenazim, most of us, are of the opinion that the Ramah and all of Ashkenazic literature is of the opinion that it could get impacted by chametz or by meat or by milk, and koshering it is a serious challenge, okay? So what does that mean for our stovetops? There are different opinions over here. This is what I would tell you to do. Two things. Again, you don't use it for 24 hours. That's one. The second thing you want to do is you're going to do something we're going to talk about when it comes to countertops. It's called iroi, which means pouring boiling water over a surface, okay? So basically, you want to take a kettle. Okay, it doesn't have to be kosher for Pesach, as long as it wasn't used for 24 hours. You could use a kosher for Pesach kettle, and you wait till the water gets to a boil. When it does, you go over the surface of your stovetop, okay, over the surface of the stovetop, make sure every part of the stovetop is hit with hot water by the water that just boiled. Okay, that's step number one. You wait for that to dry, okay? And then once it's dry, you turn on, you wipe it all up so there's no water there, and then you turn on all the elements to the highest for 10, 15 minutes, and your stovetop is kosher, okay? Ideally, the poskim say to make sure that you really keep things centered on the elements when you have a gas stovetop because of a question as to whether that pouring of hot water really helped. So you want to try ideally to make sure that your pots remain on the elements. If they move, it's okay because you did that first step of pouring the hot water over every part of it. So again, so I'm going to repeat that one more time. This is the most controversial and complicated part of the koshering. For the glass stovetops, you pour boiling water over the entire top, okay? You dry it, and then you go ahead and put on the elements all on high. Please, please, please do not cover your glass stovetop in any way, because when you do so, apparently, it is very likely for it to break. The tempered glass can't deal without having a direct line to oxygen, and therefore, some people have suggested in the past that you should cover it, or even cover the areas in between. It's not a good idea, because then you may need a new glass stovetop, and that's something you're probably not going to get this time of year for a whole host of reasons, okay? So, everyone good? Any questions on those different things that we just mentioned? Again, let me just read through this. Okay, I think I think we covered everything. Okay, yeah, good. So that's basically our oven. That's the one that takes a decent amount of work. The last thing that's going to take some more work is our countertops as well as our sink. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. An email went out. There will not be an 8 o'clock class tomorrow evening, but there will be a 9 o'clock class discussing the Haggadah. There are going to be three Pesach classes coming up. One tomorrow evening, 9 o'clock, going through the Haggadah, an overview, talking about some of the laws, some tips to make the Haggadah and the Seder more engaging. Then next Thursday morning at 11 a.m., we're going to have a class titled Seder for Solo Seders, or something like Seder for Solos, I don't know. Seder for people who are going to be alone or for very small Seders. I'm talking about some ideas how to make it a little bit more engaging and enjoyable and meaningful, even if one is on their own. And then that evening, we're going to really do more of a creative class and really share. We usually have our second Seder, which unfortunately we sent out an email today that we obviously cannot be hosting, but we will be sharing all of our trade secrets and want to make sure that you could have the craziest, if you're up to it, having the craziest and most fun Seder possible at your home. So that'll take place next Thursday at 9 p.m. Okay, under the hood, clean out under the hood. You don't have to kosher it. Yes, under the hood of the gas stove. They're filthy. You should probably clean them out from time to time. They're kind of gross, to be honest with you. We have a glass stove top right now. But yeah, it's a good idea to clean out. Again, you don't have to kosher it. Clean it out. You'll do a good clean. You don't have to worry about the guck. Make sure the crumbs are gone. That shouldn't take too long to clean out. So the question was the hood on the gas stove tops. You want to open that up and clean it out as well as you can. Don't worry about the guck. More about the substance that could be found there. Probably a good idea one way or another. My gosh, these classes are taking much longer than I anticipated. We are now going to say a chapter of Tehillim, Kapitel Chaf, 20th chapter of Tehillim. You can find it again in Shacharis of Daily Shacharis between Ashrei and Uvel Etzion. And okay, I'm going to take you all off of mute. So a heads up on that so we could daven together. I'm going to take you all off of mute now. Please join me as we say some Tehillim. And just keeping everyone and everything in mind. Everyone should be well, and certainly think about everyone right now. No one in particular, but really just the whole world. There's some good news coming down the pipes. There's some complicated news coming. Let's just dive in that we only have good news. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan today, and famous statements of our sages that Nisan was the time the Jewish people were redeemed in Mitzrayim, and Nisan is the month that we will have future redemptions, God willing, have the ultimate redemption, at the very least have a redemption, an ultimate form of redemption right now for us to be able to move past this very difficult situation. Okay, chapter 20. Lamnatzeach mizmar leDavid Yancha Adonai b'yam tzara Yisagev Hashem Elohei Akiv Yishlach Ezrecha mikaydesh Umitziyayin Yisadeka Yizkar kol mincha yisecha Vaylascha yidash nesela Yiten lecha chilvavecha V'chalatzascha